right. Did you enjoy that good music? I'd like to buy that choir if it's for sale. Take that with me. Ain't got enough money, have I? Well, I thought I'd put a down payment on it. I learned to appreciate, you'd have to be an evangelist to appreciate good singing. I was in a meeting one time, and the only music they had is a dear sister played the organ music, the organ for 15 minutes up till I preached. That was it. Now, I like organ music, but she worked for the funeral home. And I, brother, it was dead the time I got up. So I have appreciated the good singing. The choir and all the specials so far. Looking forward to the rest of the week. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. We're going to read in three different places, but don't get nervous. I won't be like one fella. He said, take your Bibles and turn them to anywhere you'd like. I'll be by there directly. I might ought to do that, might not. I want to let you have some input on the messages for these three nights. I think maybe you can help me. As I read these texts, I want to look, first of all, in Daniel chapter number 3 and verse number 25. Of course, this is where the three Hebrew children are cast into the fiery furnace, the command of the king. And then he looks in bewilderment. And let's look in verse 24, verse 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth, which I believe to be the first, is like the Son of God. Now, I want you to help me out by telling me who you think this one was who was in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys. Who do you think this one was that was like the Son of God? Does anybody know? Or has anybody got an idea? Come on, help me. Who was this? Who? Jesus. Okay, now, you said it was. I didn't. But I agree with you. Because I didn't want you to think I was going out on a limb. Now, if you will, look in chapter number 7 and verse number 13 and verse 14. This is a night vision that Daniel has concerning the end times. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given to him dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now I'd like to ask you, who do you think this one was who came like the Son of Man with a dominion and a kingdom that is eternal? Who do you think this was that Daniel saw? Anybody know? Well, tell me. Jesus. Now, you said it was Jesus. I didn't. But I agree with you. I just didn't want you to think I was stepping out on a limb. Now, let's go back to chapter number 2 and verse number 34. This is another one of Daniel's revelations concerning the world powers and kingdoms that were to come, four of them. And then he points out to us in verse number 34 Thou sawest till a stone was cut out of the mountains without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. That's the kingdoms of this world. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and it became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now I'd like to ask you, who do you think this stone was cut out of the mountains without hands? Anybody know? Jesus. Of course, he's the chief cornerstone, is he not? And he's the stone cut out of the mountains without hands. Now, you said that. I didn't. But I agree with you. I just didn't want to step out on a limb. Based upon what you've told me tonight and what we have read, I want to preach for these three services on this subject. Jesus is in Babylon. Jesus is in Babylon. Now that should not surprise us. I know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but that was not his beginning. He said, before Abraham was, I am. The scripture lets us know that Moses saw him while he was in Egypt. John saw him on the Isle of Patmos after he had already ascended. It's hard telling where you might see Jesus. But in our text, I notice that he is in Babylon. Which leads me to say this. If Jesus was in Babylon, and he was, 2,500 years ago, I wonder if you've seen him anywhere around your place lately. You reckon Jesus visits in this area? You think maybe he was by the hospital today if you could have seen him? You reckon he was in some rest home or he was speaking to some lonely heart at the house? Jesus is in Babylon, and thank God if he's in Babylon, I believe that he could be where we are tonight. I want to just introduce by looking, getting a feel of the Babylon so we can make application as to where Daniel was and application to all of us as far as seeing our own Babylonian experience. Three things that I would simply say to you. First of all, I want us to notice that Babylon was the place where Jesus was at. Babylon was the place where Jesus was at. But now if you go to look at this place called Babylon, which is the modern day Iraq, as far as Daniel is concerned and his three Hebrew friends, it was a place of confusion, a place of mysteries, a place of fearful sights. A place of dangers, a place of lions and fiery furnaces, and imposing armies and angry kings. In other words, Daniel's Babylon, and now make application to your own heart. I wonder if you might be there now. Or I wonder if you've ever been to Babylon. Will you say, well, what is Babylon? Babylon is that place where you will experience things that you've never experienced before. Babylon is that place where you will hear things that you've never heard before. Babylon is that place where you will see things that you have never seen before. Babylon is that place to where you will be removed. Or where you will be taken that you've never been before. Babylon is that place that once you get there, you realize that you will never, ever be able to return. Babylon is that place where there are fiery furnaces and there are dens of lions. Babylon is that place where Daniel finds himself. I wonder if you've ever been to Babylon. Well, you got the news from a telephone call that things have changed. I wonder if you've ever been to Babylon where the doctor gave you the report that you never expected. That place where you never thought you would be and you never wanted to go. That far off, distant place called Babylon. But yet, without consent, without desire, Daniel finds himself right smack dab in the midst of a Babylonian experience. He is surrounded with it. Oh, there are going to be those times in the Christian life, those times of pain, those times of heartache, those times of sorrow, those times of confusion, those times of depression, those times of despair, where you find yourself so removed, so far removed, so sudden from where you were yesterday or the day before. You're sitting right smack dab in your Babylon. You can hear the roars of the lions or the devil, or you can feel the heat of the fire or the temptations. You are in your Babylon. I wonder, have you ever been there? I wonder tonight how many of us are in that fearful place right now, of which we have no explanation for, and there is no way out. We are in our Babylon. But I say all that to say this. Thank God the worst place becomes the best place when you find out that Jesus is there and was there before you got there. Jesus is in Babylon, and that's where he brings them. You know, we always want him to come to us, all of our prayers. And rightfully so, Lord, would you visit us? Would you come to us? But do you know that there are times that he's not interested to come to where you are because he can't help you where you are. You can't hear him where you are. You can't see him where you are. You can't feel him in your Jerusalem situation. He must bring you into a Babylon where there you can see him, you can hear him, and you can feel him on the black backdrop of the canvas of a Babylonian experience. To where he can say, hey, I'm over here. Hey, I'm right here. I brought you here so you could know where I am at. Taking us to where he's at. Let me word it this way. Sometimes he's interested in getting you to where he's at. Now that might be. That might be, and most of the time will be, a Babylonian place. A hard place, a difficult place, a wilderness place. I can't paint the picture, but you have felt it. Have you not been there? And maybe you are there. In the midst of despair, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of distress, in the midst of what you've just heard or what you've just been told or and what's going on in your life or in your marriage or with your children, you seem to be in Babylon. Got good news, not there by yourself. Jesus is in Babylon. He simply brought you there so you could see him. You won't have to look from a distance, honey. He'll be close enough. I can't tell you what he'll look like, but I'm pretty sure you'll recognize him when he shows up. He's interested in getting you to where he's at, so you could know then that he's where you're at and become aware of the fact that that's really where it's all at. No matter where you're at. Woo! Oh, honey, it's heaven below where Jesus is. Hallelujah. I don't care
it's in Babylon, I don't care if it's in Persia, I don't care wherever it may be, thank God for the times that he's taken me into those places that I didn't want to go. I held back from going. I didn't vote to go. I tell you, it was an awful place, but right there I saw him brighter, nearer, and dearer than ever before. That's where he's at. And would you rather stay where you're at?
Listen.
Or be where he's at? Huh? Did I say to you? Did I say to you he's wanting to get you to where he's at? So then you'll know that he's where you're at. You become aware of the fact that that's where it's all at, no matter where it's at. Hallelujah. Because you got to see Jesus. How many of the saints that I've pastored down through the years and fellowshipped over the years in the houses of God that were in a terrible Babylonian experience of some sort or another, but they'd take my hand in tears and say to me, "Preacher, the Lord has been real through it all. They saw him like they'd never seen him before." He's there. He's been there all the time. He's waiting on you to bring you to where you can see him. You see, it was there in Babylon. They saw him as the Son of God. It was there in Babylon. They saw him in the Word of God, the prophecies. It became so vivid. It was there in Babylon they saw him in the children of God. These four boys may not even known one another, but the reason why they know one another is because of Jesus.
Yes.
And it was all revealed by the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad that no matter, I'm going to tell you, I got saved. I was born and raised in West Virginia, got saved in Ohio, left Ohio, went to Bible college in Greenville, South Carolina, left that and pastored in North Carolina, and now I'm way down there in Alabama. Pray for me. But here I'm back in North Carolina. But here's what I found out. If you'll get to looking for him, you can find him anywhere. Anywhere he brings you, anywhere he takes you, he'll be there to reveal himself as the Son of God, reveal himself in the Word of God, reveal himself through the people of God. The reason why I came here tonight, and I was pretty sure Jesus would be here in one form or another.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So I'm in my Babylon. Well, look. That's a good place to find him. Huh? I say, it's where he's at. Where he's at. The second thing that I would emphasize to you that is in Babylon, that you find out who he is. Who he is. They're not going to know much about him in Jerusalem. It's already set up and locked up in the cement of religion. They can't see him. They can't hear him. They can't feel him. Matter of fact, he ain't doing nothing over there. So what he's going to do is he's going to bring them to where he's at so he can show them who he is. And if you ever find out who he is, you may have to get close to the fire. He may put you close to the fire. Hey, he may put you, don't go to blaming the devil for everything. He may allow you to be put in the fire. But right in the midst of the fire, you're going to find out who he is. He may allow you to be put into some roaring, where roaring lions are that would tear you to pieces bit by nature. And it is of my opinion that that angel was none other than Jesus in there.
Amen.
Hope I hadn't went out on a limb.
Right.
But honey, he found out in the den of lions who Jesus was. He not only controls the flame, he controls the wild beast. He controls controls it. It is here. They wouldn't have never known that in Jerusalem. They wouldn't have never known that in the Sunday school class. They wouldn't have never known that on the Sunday morning service. They wouldn't have known that. But honey, when they got out there in their Babylon, where they heard things, seen things, felt things, experienced things they'd never experienced before, thank God they found out who he was. Now it's in Babylon that Babylon tries to take over in their lives, tries to condition them and conform them and control them and change them. But thank God there's already somebody there that won't ever change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. They tried to change their identity by changing their name. They tried to change their reality by trying to change their very nature. They tried to change, I'm going to tell you, their very kneeling, their very prayer. They tried to change their liberty. They tried to change everything about them. Someone would ask, well, how in the world? I mean, these are supposed to be sons of kings. They got royal blood in them. How in the world can you be... How in the world can you be royalty when they're making a slave out of you? That's what this old world don't want you to realize. You're a child of the king. They'll get to you to looking at the circumstances and all that. They'll get to pressuring you. And I'll tell you, they'll get to working on you and trying to change you. And before you know, you'll just begin to think you ain't nothing but an old Babylonian slave. How in the world can you be royalty when they expect you to be? How in the world can you stay cool in the midst of the fire? They want you to get under the heat and the pressure of it. This old world wants to bring you down. I mean, it wants to get you all kinds of anxieties. I don't know how I'm going to handle this, but I'll tell you, it's so hard. That's what the world will do to you. How in the world can you keep your prayer life together when you're in a den of lions? Man, they're fixing to chew you up and you're praying too. It seems as though that they're in charge. They got you to where they can rule you. This world wants to take over. But I'm here to tell you, no matter where you find Jesus, you find him as the preeminent one, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And you won't have no problem bowing your knee to him when you find out the lions bow their knee to him and the fires obey him and everything else is under his charge. In Babylon, you find out where he's at and who he is. He said, come on over here. You don't really know who I am. In your comfort zone and your security and your little religious system, you don't really know who I am. I've got to take you with me into some places, and then... you'll be interested in finding out who I am.
Listen, preacher.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
I tell you, when you're in Babylon, the worst thing you can do is pull out your Sunday school pens. I mean, present your Sunday school pen. Oh, wait a minute, King, you can't do that. Look here, I've got pens. I've been to Sunday school for 20 years, never missed one. You know what the fire is going to do to your Sunday school pen? It's gone. Don't bring out your baptismal certificate. Your religion won't work in Babylon. I don't care if your daddy was a priest or a Levite or who your mama was. You can't drag all that over into Babylon. They don't pay attention to that. The lions will tear that apart bit by bit. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can get to seeing Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they ain't no fire, no king, no lions or anything else can handle him. Let you say, well, how in the world am I going to make it in Babylon? Let him be king today. Let him be king tomorrow. Let him be king the next day. And he'll take care of your, he'll rule your Babylon. Woo! Did I tell you
You ain't seen him around your house lately, have you? How many times have I heard a saint say, you know, doctor says all over. He's laying on that table and he's fixing to do the surgery, put me to sleep. Didn't bother me because the Lord was there.
Amen.
He's there as king. You don't worry about the rest of that outfit that don't recognize him. You just make sure he's king in your life. He'll take care of everything else in Babylon. See, over in Jerusalem, they just whistling Dixie. They ain't even looking for him. They're talking about their laws and their commandments and their temple and their sacrifices. And they ain't seen him in who knows how long. It disturbs me when I can't find him. And if I have to go to Babylon to find him, I won't get there. Huh? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And then I would emphasize to you Babylon. It's where he's at. Babylon is where you find out who he is. And Babylon's where you can find out what he can do. The possibilities where Jesus is at. Now, if we're not careful, we'll just go around and see the devil everywhere. There's a devil, and the devil's over there, devil, devil. Man, I'm Babylon, I tell you, Babylon, just full of devils. I don't want to go there, there's devils. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's great possibilities where Jesus is. I don't care where it's at. I'm talking about in your personal life. Now, here's these four Hebrew boys. That's in Babylon. I'm talking about the first world power. The greatest nation on earth at this time that has captured and conquered kingdom after kingdom and nation after nation, even Jerusalem. And you would think that these boys would be at their mercies. But it's amazing what can happen with you and through you when Jesus is there.
Amen.
These boys, four of them, conquered from the inside what no power up to this point had been able to conquer from the outside.
Amen.
Hey, don't get under pressure. Just get looking for him. And find out and be able to testify what he's able to do in the midst of Babylon. The scripture lets us know that these four boys changed their menu. You remember that? Chapter 1, we'll read it tomorrow night. They said, here's on the menu. They said, well, we don't want that menu. They changed the menu. Think about it. They not only changed their menu, they tamed their lions. Huh? Can you imagine old Daniel just flipping that lion up, causing him to lay real still, and then throws his leg up on another? You ever slept on two lions?
Yeah.
I'd be afraid to if Jesus wasn't there.
Right, right.
Huh?
Yeah.
They explained their mysteries. All of those things they couldn't understand, they explained the they reprogrammed their music. Chapter 3, man, they had that big band there, the Who's Who. You're talking about a choir. Right in the middle of it, it all got shut down. Changed their music. Quenched their fires. I mean, the Bible said concerning these four boys that ran into Jesus, they were fairer, they were better, they were rulers, they were higher, and they were masters. Honey, we don't have to let this old world keep us from who we really are in Christ. It's amazing what he can do in you and what he can do through you. It is God that possibilities of the impossible and the possibilities of the invisible. Now listen to this. The greatest thing that ever happened to these boys was to be taken to the worst place that you could ever imagine. You say, why? What would they have missed if they hadn't went to Babylon? What would they have missed if they hadn't been in Babylon? What would you miss if God, Jesus, hadn't brought you to where he is at and let you experience some of the Babylonian? What would you have missed? How much would you know about him? How could you even say where he's at? How can you say what he can do? But oh, when he takes you into those dark places, those harsh and hard places, and I'm going to tell you, reveals where he's at. He's there. Reveals who he is and then shows you what he can do. Thank God you can come out there and tell the rest of the saints, don't be afraid. Jesus is in my Babylon. And if he's in your Babylon and in your Babylon and you can testify about what he's done in your Babylon, it gets me encouraged to know he can handle my Babylon.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Tell me that story again, Daniel. Oh, I was in a den of lions.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. How close was it? Wasn't even close. They lost their appetite. How come? Jesus showed up.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Now you boys tell me that story again. That's a little hard to believe. We was put in a fiery furnace, 7 times hotter than it had ever been one to be. Oh, I bet that did that. No, didn't burn us a bit. Just burnt the ropes off. How come? Jesus was in the fire.
Woo!
You can't believe it. You can see him everywhere. Did I ask you? Did I say to you that the greatest thing ever happened to these 4 boys was to be taken to the worst spot on earth so it would become the best spot on earth to them? Because they saw Jesus there, found out what he could do.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Best thing that could have ever happened for us was for them 4 boys to be taken to Babylon. You say, now, preacher, that's a little selfish. You mean to tell me that you're glad them 4 boys went to Babylon? I sure am. Because if they hadn't, there wouldn't be no book of Daniel. Huh? And they allowed me to see Jesus in places I never thought you'd even find him. They're not running through Babylon looking at all the bad. I'm sure you could have heard some of them other boys that went through that said, man, this is the worst place I've ever been. I hate this place. I wish I could get out here. Ain't nothing but a bunch of devils and lions and fires. And I'm scared to death of it. I won't even get close to it if I can help it. And then you interview them boys. They said, oh, Jesus is all over the place. So all over. I said, you see him there? He's coming. He's coming. He's coming over there. He's that, see that rock over there? That's him. See him down there in that fiery furnace? That's him. See him in that den of lions? That's him. He's everywhere. Honey, if you'll just get to looking for him, he'll show himself to you. Where he's at, right where you're at. He'll show up and say, hey, look over here. Look over here. Look here.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Man. Yes. Hallelujah.
I don't know if I told you. Jesus is in Babylon. Now, let me close this out. I got a Bible somewhere. Comes in handy when you're preaching. Yeah. I was preaching in Texas. The end of the meeting, a dear saint, elderly saint, came up to me slowly. She said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something that I've only told a couple other people because I didn't know what they'd think." I said, "Well, I'd like to hear it." I'm talking about in your babbling, Jesus in your babbling, how real he becomes. And how you can help so many people because you saw him there and encouraged their hearts to look for him where they're at. She said, "A couple of years ago, my husband up and died on me and said, we expected that he had been sick for a while. But said, just a couple of months after that, my daughter, the only living kin I had left in this world, my daughter, passed away. Shockingly." She said, "I went into a tailspin of depression and darkness for a period of time." And she said, "One day I was sitting in my living room all by myself on the couch. And he walked in." I said, "Who?" She said, "Him." I pretty well knew who she was talking about. I said, "What did he look like?" She said, "I don't know. I couldn't tell. But said he came over and sat down on the couch. Said, I don't know how long he stayed, probably just a second, but it seemed like a few minutes. I said, what did he say?" She said, "Nothing." I said, "What did you say to him?" She said, "Nothing." But said, then he got up and he walked out. And said, when he walked out, he sucked all that darkness and depression out of me.
Amen.
And she said, "I ain't been the same woman since."
Amen.
You say, why, preacher? She found Jesus. The only cure for where you're at is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher our faith.
Yes.
Anybody ever been in a babbling experience? Raise your hand. You ever been there where you didn't want to do? Couldn't figure it out. Heart was breaking. Fire was hot. Lions were roaring. How many ever have run into Jesus in those places? And that's why you're here tonight. That's why you're singing in this choir. Because you're singing out of your Babylonian experiences that revealed the Christ that we worship to you in a way that could never have been revealed to you in your Jerusalem. All right. Jesus is in Babylon.
We're standing. Brother Brian will figure something out for us here. If I say, "Preacher, don't you know Babylon's against us?" What of it? "Preacher, don't you know it? Might be Trump, might be Biden, might be Bernie. What of it? What of it? I know the King. If revival is anything, it's seeing him. It's beholding him." Amen. Oh my. Are you where you can see him tonight? Maybe you need to. Maybe you need to put your shoulder to that stone a little more tonight. push it a little further for a little more light of the Lord to come in. You ought to mind the Lord tonight. Altar's open. Just mind him, Brother Brian.
Oh, yeah. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange.
You don't have to be in Jerusalem to find an altar.
By the light of his glory and grace, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for
get your eyes off the fire. Get your eyes off the lines. Get your eyes off that situation. Get your eyes on him tonight.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face.
I don't know where you're at tonight. Some of you in some hard situations. It's been a while since you've sensed his presence and seen him. You're sort of winging it. You say, "Preacher, I'd sure like to feel his presence. I'd like to see." Well, come on down here and see if you can't get a glimpse of him, so he can tell you everything's okay right where you're at, because he's there. Lord, we just want to see you. Where we're at.
In the shadows you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Standing somewhere in the shadows you'll find. He's a friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him.
Oh, yes.
And you'll know him by the nail prints.
He's for you tonight. He's for you tonight.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend.
Babylon's not darker than the light of the world.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his
hand. Sing it with him. Sing it with him.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's a friend who always cares.
He'll be there for you. Get there. He'll be there for you. See him.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands.
Hallelujah. Now it's not that there are not any tears in Babylon, but they don't fall to the ground. He collects every one of them. It's not that there are not any prayers uttered in Babylon, but no, he hears every one of them, amen. Hallelujah. What a message tonight. As Brother Wade would say, this'll live. And it'll live in Babylon. And the truth is, if it doesn't live in Babylon, there's just not much to it. What you got tonight gonna get you through Babylon? What tonight gonna see you through? Oh my, I appreciate the preaching of God's man tonight, amen. God knows what we need when we need it. Hallelujah. So how long were they in that fire? Really doesn't matter. I know the night sure enough was long for the king. Remember, the king didn't sleep that night. Daniel seemed to sleep pretty good. Babylon probably paced face that night for Daniel. Now, it may not be pacing face for you tonight. And it may seem like he's nowhere around. But in Babylon, in the shadows, he's there. Sing it one more time, just a hair lip, the stinking devil.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands.
Oh, yes.
Standing somewhere.
Sing a little more. Folks are praying.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands.
Yes, yes.
Standing somewhere.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Sent to your children. Special delivery with names and addresses for some hearts and some lives down in Babylon. Oh God, thank you for the man of God and his faithfulness to point us unto you. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Why, Lord, we don't even know what the rest of this night's gonna hold. But hallelujah, I'm glad you're king and we know you're holding it this night. Lord, may we leave this place looking for you. May we look for you throughout the night and tomorrow. May we fall right back in here, Lord willing, tomorrow night looking for you one more time. Because Lord, you sure enough love to show yourself to those that are looking, those that are drawing nigh. Pray for every heart, every soul. It's already done business around this altar and others. I give you thanks. I give you glory. I give you honor for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. In your holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and amen. Look for him in Babylon. Come looking tomorrow night. Shake hands one with another. Tell somebody you're glad to see him in the Lord's house tonight. Amen.